In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Let's all go to the lobby.
Yeah, that's right. It's time to talk movies. Pass the Popcorn is brought to you every Monday afternoon by our friends at Bangor Mall Cinema 10. Stillwater Avenue, Bangor, where they have a film for everyone in the family. Alan Adams from The Main Edge with us here in studio. Hi there, Mr. Adams.
Well, hello, hello. How are you?
Wonderful. Your weekend went okay, I hope?
It was good, yeah. But a lot of time spent at the theater rehearsing for the upcoming production of The Full Monty, which is going remarkably well. Like, things are looking really good. I think people are really going to enjoy it. So
I'm hearing nothing but good things from people associated with the production, including you.
It's one of those things where it's just like, it's... You just want to knock on whatever wooden surfaces there are kicking around, because it's just been a wonderfully smooth process thus far.
And we're talking about a week from Thursday?
Yep, first preview is a week from Thursday. We did an off book run of the show like last Sunday, like not yesterday, but like a week ago, and it was just with a production of this scale. It feels unheard of. Like, I'm not really a big musical guy. Like, this isn't something I do a lot of, but it seems fast. It seems that it's coming together really, really fast. The director, Ethan Paolini, also the choreographer, he's great. Like, he's been great to work with. And it's a wonderful group. I think people are really going to enjoy this show.
Very good. Well, looking forward to it, even though you're not naked.
Well, yeah, you know, you can't have everything, Rich.
I may just come backstage to get the bonus. All right, and you somehow managed to get to the movies this weekend, and it was superhero weekend.
Well, it's funny how that works out, you know what I mean? We were talking about that. You were talking about who comes out on top in the superhero battle. You're right. It is the answer that you expect. What you don't expect is how close it is. It's not, because we're talking about Wonder Woman and Captain Underpants. Wonder Woman has, to my mind, lived up to the hype. Like, it was a phenomenal movie going experience. The surprising part was how good Captain Underpants was.
See, and I'm not up to date on Captain Underpants, but watching some of the young people shows that we watch in our house these days, I've seen a lot of trailers for the film, and it looks great. But I don't know the source material.
Yeah, it's a series of kids' books. A guy named Dev Pelkey has written these. There's a bunch of them. And it's basically the story of these two, you know, young kids, elementary school kids who are best friends. And they entertain one another by creating these comic books. And their favorite creation is the aforementioned Captain Underpants. It's a fairly typical story as far as these kinds of things go. You've got the two kids, they get up to shenanigans, they make jokes and pull pranks and the whole shebang. The principal, Mr. Krupp, is not a big fan of their antics. And so comes up with a plan to separate the two. They accidentally hypnotize the principal, as is wont to happen in films like this, and convince him that he is in fact Captain Underpants, and hijinks ensue. The thing about it is, first of all, it's got a really unique aesthetic. Like, they kept very close to the visual style of the books in translating it to the screen. The thing that I really was surprised by was the level of talent involved in making this movie. And we're not just talking about the voice cast, although that's excellent. Kevin Hart, Thomas Middleditch, Ed Helms, Nick Kroll, Kristen Schaal. Like, I mean, it's just some really great comedians are involved with this. But the script was written by Nicholas Stoller, who did the Neighbors movies and Forgetting Sarah Marshall. So it's like this wonderful collection of talent coming together to adapt this this really kind of weird kids story. And it was surprisingly fun.
Yeah, it's a series that, and I know your boy may get into it. My daughter did read a bunch of these books when she was a kid, and they're really the source material is good. So I'm glad to hear they did a nice job of holding on to that source.
Well, it's just, you know, it's, I mean, there are tons of, like, you know, poop jokes and potty humor. And like, so obviously I was delighted. But there's also a really sort of sincere kind of message about the necessity of creativity and the you know, the importance of real friendship and stuff like that. And it's kind of nice to see a movie like this that, well, it's just never, it's very clearly a kid's movie. Like, you know, and we're not talking like, you know, Pixar stuff tries, you know, straddles that line between the young and the adult. This is very much a kid's movie, but never at any point does it condescend to that audience, which I think is really important. Like, I think it's easy for the, for these movies to do that, to just, you know, throw in a few, you know, toilet jokes and then, you know, talk to the kids like they're kind of idiots. This movie doesn't do that. And there's enough there so that adults, especially adults, I think, who appreciate the source material for what it is, are going to have a good time.
I love the sound of that. Looking forward to Captain Underpants. And then Wonder Woman, everybody's been buzzing about this one before it came out, and now it seems like it was worth the wait.
Well, it's so funny because these kinds of movies tend to have these massive sort of publicity pushes, and I feel like this one didn't necessarily get it to the extent that a lot of the other, like, sort of superhero, you know, tentpole blockbuster type movies did. And that's, well, and frankly, that's a shame because I feel very confident in saying that this is, I mean, hands down, the best non-Christopher Nolan DC Universe movie. You know, and I mean, because the Christopher Nolan, the Batman trilogy is kind of its own thing. Like, I don't really include that with the rest of the stuff. But this movie is, I mean, it's excellent. Like, I was like, you know, I kind of sort of started to hear the reviews kind of trickle in as the, you know, the initial screenings were happening. And it was, the positivity was so universal that it was like, okay, so, you know, is this some sort of overcompensation? Like, because there was the weird, like, you know, men's rights activist backlash to the movie because there's a, you know, there's a certain type of man out there who's horribly uncomfortable with the idea of anything that's not specifically aimed directly at him. But yeah, it's the movie is it's beautifully done. And one of the things that I don't know that people understand is the entire movie is basically an extended flashback. Like, it starts off in present day, but within the first, like, 3 minutes, we're taken back to, Diana Prince, who is played by Gal Gadot, taken back to her childhood on Themyscira, also known as Paradise Island, to those comics fans out there. And as she's raised by, you know, by the Amazons, where, you know, her mom is the queen, and she's played by Connie Nielsen, Queen Hippolyta. Her aunt is the sort of lead general, Antiope, played by Robin Wright, who's excellent in this.
Wow.
Yeah, they kind of live this idyllic. It's weird to call it idyllic because, I mean, they spend all their time, like, you know, learning how to be warriors, like with, you know, spears and swords and bows and arrows and all that stuff. But it all kind of gets thrown into disarray when a crashing plane sort of pierces the magical veil that's preventing it from being discovered by the outside world and crashes into the ocean. She dives in to save who turns out to be an American spy by the name of Steve Trevor, played by Chris Pine, who has vital intel to return to British intelligence about German forces that are developing these sort of super chemical weapons that could, instead of, because we're in the waning days of World War I, instead of, you know, bringing that war to an end, could greatly extend it and kill thousands more and the whole thing. And so Diana takes it on herself to escort him back to London, where she immediately gets kind of swept up into the mission where they wind up going out into, you know, to the front lines and having to track down the warehouse where this is being, you know, these super weapons are being manufactured and shut them down. But at the same time, it's our first real exposure to not only to the world of war, but the world of man in general. And so there's a lot of that kind of fish out of water stuff that's thrown in there as well. the simple truth of the matter is it's a movie like this is only going to be as good as its lead. You know, that you can't come back from a mistake, you know, in that department. Gal Gadot is fantastic in this part. Like she's, I mean, she's legitimately great. It's one of the great superhero performances. And I think a lot of that springs from, I saw a wonderful, reference to this. It's like this movie kind of solved the superhero movie love interest problem, with Chris Pine, who is, he's great. And the dynamic between the two of them is one of the sort of foundational pieces of making this movie work. But the action sequences are fantastic. There's some CGI iffiness here and there, but there always is. The final fight is kind of devolves back into, you know, superhero movie cliche a little bit. I think, the next big step is finding a better way to end these movies.
Right.
But the first three quarters, 80% of this movie is as good as any superhero movie you're going to see.
So like this is not the Linda Carter Wonder Woman from the television series.
Well, it's not, but at the same time, I feel like that sort of spirit is very much alive in the character as it's written in this new movie. You know, it's, I mean, it's not nearly as campy, obviously, you know, but, it's a different time. Like this iteration of the character, I think is very much a product of its time in a great way, mm-hmm. In a way that I think is really engaging, really smart, God help us. It looks like DC has finally learned the lesson that, you know, maybe it's okay for people to chuckle every once in a while during one of your movies. You know, there are some great moments of humor. The great British comic actress Lucy Davis has a part in this as Steve Trevor's secretary, where it basically, like, there's a chunk in the middle of the movie, like 10 minutes long, where it turns into a legit comedy of manners. It's like My Fair Lady, only, you know, Eliza Doolittle is an Amazonian princess wielding a giant sword. Like, it's like there are moments like that that sort of like elevate the rest of the proceedings. So yeah, I think the final tally was something like $106 million for the weekend for the box office, highest ever, you know, opening weekend for a film by a female director. Patty Jenkins has done a fantastic job with this movie, and hopefully it opens the door for more women directors to get a chance to get their hands on the keys to some of these big franchises.
Now, the superhero movies rarely get mentioned when it comes to award season, but I'm hearing from a number of people that this could certainly be on that list.
Well, you know, I mean, it's going to be tough for Gal Gadot, I think, to get real attention in that sort of respect. However, I wouldn't be at all surprised with the extended Best Picture category if it got a nod. And don't sleep on Chris Pine for you know, some awards attention, because again, like it's a wonderful supporting role that he inhabits beautifully. Like it's really good work. It's really good work by just about everybody involved. And yeah, there are no weak links. And yeah, Wonder Woman is, to be honest, at the risk of sounding like a goof, it's wonderful.
Wow, two winners this week. Go see them both, Captain Underpants and Wonder Woman. Thanks, Alan.
My pleasure.
Alan Adams of the Main Edge, Pass the Popcorn, every single Monday here on the program. Brought to you by our friends at Bangor Mall Cinema 10, where they have a film for everyone in the family.